So this is a talk about living gratefully. And is there a handheld microphone here somewhere? I could do with that. Lovely. Because I want to know, what do you do when you don't like your tea? I can just think about it. What happens when you sit down for a meal and actually you look at it and think, oh dear. This happens to all of us, whether we've cooked it or not. Sometimes you look at it and think, oh dear. But more often it's probably someone else has gone to a lot of trouble to cook that for you, but you're still thinking, oh no, it's not that tonight, is it? Now I can remember a time when I was seven and my stepbrother was four, and we went to see my Auntie Betty, and this was actually the first time my stepmum had met my Auntie Betty, so it was quite important that she was on her best behaviour and we were on our best behaviour. We wore our best clothes, and my Auntie Betty was also on her best behaviour, and she cooked tea for us. And she thought, what do young children like? Well, they like simple food, so she did scrambled egg, shouldn't be a problem. And then she thought, children also like tomato ketchup, so I'll put the ketchup in the scrambled egg. And it came out kind of luminous pink. And my brother, who's only four, took a mouthful of it, and I kid you not, he spat it out, not just on his plate, all over the table. It just went everywhere. And then he went, ugh, this is horrible. Now, this is a talk about living gratefully. Does anybody, does that sound very grateful? What should my brother have done? Any ideas? No ideas in the front row? A little bit more time to think. What should my brother have done? Anybody? Benedict.
Spat it out in the bin.
Spat it out in the bin. That would have been one step politer. Absolutely. It's quite difficult. When you don't like your tea, you could spit it out in the bin or find a pot plant. That's absolutely right. What else could you do? I mean, what's the really polite thing to do? Yeah.
Refuse politely.
So he could have said, I'm awfully sorry, Auntie Betty. That's so kind of you to go so much trouble to make tomato ketchup flavoured scrambled egg. And it looks stunning, but not my favourite, might be the phrase. We sort of learn ways of doing gratefully. Now, who doesn't like broad beans? Anybody here not like broad beans? Okay, well, I said there was a problem with some of the hymns in this service. Can you like to turn in your service to the offertory hymn, which we're going to sing in a minute? It's like a trip down the supermarket aisle. I'll use this one again. It's okay. Lovely. Otherwise, I come across too loud. I'm too loud anyway, but there we go. Okay, so let's have a look at the offertory hymn. That's the one which comes in the middle. It's a fantastic hymn. It goes, cauliflower's fluffy and cabbage is green, strawberries sweeter than any I've seen, beetroot's purple and onion's white, all grow steadily then. And so far, so good. Cauliflowers, cabbages, I mean, you know, sort of all right food. Strawberries, come on. Beetroots, actually, probably not beetroots, but anyway, onion's white. But then it's going well, generally. The apples are ripe, the plums are red. Absolutely. Thumbs up to that. The broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed. Now, here we hit a problem. It's not a doctrinal problem. It's just a problem. Because we've got to sing, broad beans are sleeping in the blankety bed. Yeah. But I want to sing, broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed. Yuck. Or, broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed. That's fine. They can just stay there and come nowhere near my plate. I'll be perfectly happy with that. Broad beans, really strong taste. And sometimes you've got to be a grown-up, which I'm clearly not, in order to like broad beans. So what do you do if somebody serves up broad beans or some other food you don't like? Let's see. What on earth you do with broad beans when they're on your plate? You've worked out the secret, have you? Okay, tell us, because we all want to know. Everybody wants to know, what on earth do you do when you get broad beans on your plate?
You can eat them politely without saying anything.
Can we have a round of applause? Whoa. For those of you who didn't hear the pearl of wisdom, you can eat them politely without saying anything. Now that is the sign of a saint in the making, I think. That is somebody who is a fantastic. It really is a brilliant answer, because, gosh, that means you're actually putting the person who chose broad beans, the person who cooked the broad beans, the somebody who served the broad beans, you're putting them in front of yourself. And you're suffering something you don't like very much because you actually care for their feelings. I think that is an amazing, mature answer. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. And perhaps we can come round for tea at your place later. I was much worse behaved than my stepbrother, I've got to tell you. I can remember when I was about five, getting my first bike. And we went to the bike shop to have a look first time round, and I saw a gold rally bike. It was shiny gold, and I fell in love with it. But we didn't buy it there and then, because we went to look at some other ones. And then when we came back, they didn't have any gold ones. They just had a blue one. And I sulked. My mum and dad said, I'm sorry, they haven't got a gold one. You've got to have a blue one. And I was not grateful. Anybody got an idea what I should have done? Is there a way of living gratefully when you've got your heart set on something and it's just not quite right? What could I have done? I was only five. Up here. Thank you, Lauren.
Could you have waited so the gold one came back in the shop?
Yeah. See, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to wait, but my mum and dad wouldn't. So that would have been, to be honest, that would have been quite a sensible answer, but unfortunately it wasn't on offer to me, age five.
Say nothing.
Say nothing and just take the blue bike. Absolutely, it's the same answer as last time, yep.
Get the blue one and paint it gold.
Aha! Get the blue one and paint it gold. That's what I should have done. Fantastic. Brilliant answer. Were you going to say the same thing? Brilliant. Great minds work alike. Well, I think that probably would have been certainly much better than what I did. Well, St. Paul has some advice for us, because we all face these kind of things all the time. All the time. Something comes along and you know what? It's not quite right. Have you ever had a birthday present or a Christmas present and someone's gone to a lot of trouble to get that thing for you, but it's not actually the one you wanted? It's close, but it's not the cigar. It's just not there. And some of us can hide it better than other people. Some of us, our faces give it away straight away, and we're immediately thinking, did you keep the receipt? Whereas others of us can actually go a step further and not say anything, take it as, actually, for us all, take it as an opportunity to learn something really important. The thing is, living gratefully is easy when what you get is what you want. Living gratefully is more challenging most of the time when you're not getting what you want. A lot of the time we don't get the stuff, we haven't got the ideal stuff that we'd like. And if we wait for everything to be perfect before we're grateful, the truth is we'll probably never be grateful at all. There's someone in this church I know who, when they go to the supermarket, particularly search for the wonky vegetables. That's quite a search sometimes. You go to Sainsbury's or Tesco's, they've normally got rid of all the wonky vegetables. But to look for the wonky vegetables that nobody else would buy, that other people would pass over, that's an opportunity to teach yourself to live gratefully. Because you're actually practicing with a wonky vegetable. It's fairly easy thing. It's not a big thing in your life, really. Whether it was wonky or not, it's going to be cut up and cooked anyway and chewed. So whether it's wonky or not a big deal. It's a very small thing to practice with. Let's all try it. Let's race one another for the wonky vegetables in Sainsbury's. There's another bit, because Paul says in that reading we just had, always give thanks to God the Father for everything. So that's the deal, not just when it's perfect, also when it's difficult. There's one other bit of advice here. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Notice what he's saying. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs of the Spirit. He goes on to say, and sing to God as well. But actually, to use language of praise and Christian language of praise in the way that we talk to one another. Make it normal, not odd, to do that. You've heard me say many times, when you signed off an email or a letter to a fellow Christian, go a step beyond kind regards or best wishes. If you're writing to your brother or sister in Christ, say, God bless you. It's not hard to put that instead, but actually using the language of praise and of thanksgiving. St. Paul's advice is, use the language, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, quote it to one another. And then he says, seek and make music from your heart to the Lord. Do you ever find you get a song in your head and you're just humming it and singing it? It's a pop song or it's a folk song. It's something that you just know and love. It pops into your head and you don't know all the words. You might know the chorus, but you can't remember the verses. Opportunity. Opportunity at that point, make up some Christian words. This might sound a bit odd. It's actually great fun. Turn that song into something you can sing in your heart to God. It may sound a bit strange, but that's actually where most of our favourite hymns started. They were originally pop songs of their day. They're originally folk songs. And someone somewhere decided they put Christian words to it. Well, how did they start to do that? I reckon they probably forgot the words when they were doing the washing up. But because they were singing in their hearts to God, they started to use God words instead of the secular words. Well, you can do that. What a great way of learning to live gratefully. When you're humming a tune, offer it to God. Use your own words, make them up. Fantastic. It may be that you actually end up writing a hymn that we all can sing because you've actually worked it up in your mind. It's become a Christian song. People in England don't often sing in public outside of church. Probably the only other time they do it a lot is at football matches. And I've noticed football supporters often take hymns and they turn them into football chants. So they're used to doing it. I quite like to do it in reverse. I once had a little bit of fun thinking of football chants I could turn into Christian songs. And the best I could come up with was, it's all gone quiet over there. You're not sinning anymore. You're not sinning anymore. Or, my favourite, you're going home in a sacred ambience. Which, if you know the original, you might get. But I do pray that you'll go home in a sacred ambience. Last Sunday, and this is the end of the talk, last Sunday from the pulpit, we had a great sermon in the evening from Dan Jenkins, who is the Dawson Youth Officer. It was a great sermon for me because there was one bit in it where he quoted a song, and this time I can't remember the tune, I can remember the words the other way around. But the words were, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. And I came away thinking, actually, what else do I need to know, really? J-O-Y, the secret of joy, Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. Let's use this Harvest Festival to think about living gratefully. The secret of contentment is to live gratefully, to be grateful for things that aren't perfect. Get hold of those wonky vegetables. Look for opportunities to be grateful for less than perfect gifts. If someone gives you a present that isn't quite the thing, that's your chance. I'm going to go a bit deeper. I'm going to be grateful for that. And I'm going to express gratitude for that. In the gospel story, it's very rare. One person out of 10 came back to say thank you. Only 10% of people discover the secret of living gratefully. This Harvest Festival, be one of the 10%. Learn to live gratefully. Be someone who doesn't whinge. Be someone who doesn't complain. Be somebody who actually, you've got to do all sorts of awful stuff to before they even will complain, because you're being grateful. And that's your normal way of being. Wouldn't that be a fantastic way to live? Let's do it. This Harvest Festival, let this be the beginning of a fantastic adventure. Living gratefully. Wonky vegetables, ahoy. God bless you all.